Okay, Chevra, how's everyone doing? Okay, that's two thumbs up, four, five. Okay, Siskel and Ebert, some people put up one thumb, some people put up two thumbs. Is there anyone else who we're waiting for to begin? Should we wait another minute?
I believe Sima is joining us.
Okay, so just wait 1 minute and I will turn on my air conditioner, which will help me also, and then we can begin.
Rachel, I'm so sorry about my internet. We had to like unplug the router and like say brachos on it. Like then miraculously it started working. So
glad it worked out.
Yeah.
It's a little weird that the phone number that I gave you didn't work though. I'm curious about that, but whatever.
Again, Trevor, I have to apologize for my internet. What was it, last week or something, that the internet kind of died off on me in the middle, but I think we are able to go on and to learn Torah and all other good and exciting things. Okay, so let's begin. We're learning Tav Zayin Amid Beis, and last time we spoke about the concept of since, migo, since something has the status of a wall for purposes of sukkah, so it also has the status of a wall for purposes of Shabbos. That was one element. And then we also extended that and we spoke about how if a person makes a sukkah on top of a mavoi with a lechi, so since the mavli with alechi works for Shabbos, that will also work for Sukkah. And we noted a machlokes between Rashi and the Tosfos as to whether we're talking about what's called a mavli mefulash, that the mavli is open on both sides, and in that case, the lechi is necessary min haTorah in order to make it a rishus hayachid, or are we talking about a mavli sasum? It already has three walls, and the purpose of the lechi is to create a heter tiltel to permit one to carry, because with only three walls and the ruach revius is nifritza, if you have only three complete walls and the fourth wall is completely open, you're not allowed to carry. That was the way Tosas learned the Gemara. And then the last topic that came up was the... good evening, Sima. How are you? The last topic that came up was the topic of putting schach on top of pasei beiraos. We mentioned that pasei beiraos are these diyumden. They're small two-wall structures that they put around a be'er. It's like a well of fresh water. And it's a special kula that they have for the Ole Regolim, that when people would go up to be Ole Regolim, they'd be traveling with their animals, the animals would get thirsty. And if the animal gets thirsty, you can't just have the animal drink from the well on its own, because then the animal is carrying from the well, which is a Rishus HaYachid, into some other Rishus HaRabim area that would be forbidden. So therefore, they have a kula, pasei beiraos, this kula of what I would call primordial mechitzos, the most basic, tiny little mechitzos that they have, and that helps for the animals to be able to carry. So Tosfos is bothered by Akasha. The Tosfos, sikech agavi pasei beiraos ksheira. If I'm not mistaken, we got cut off in the middle of this Tosfos last time, so I want to just continue this topic. By the way, Sima, I like the fact that you changed your name to be written in Hebrew, and you have an Israeli flag in the background. Have you officially made Aliyah?
No, but I started online classes in an Israeli school, so they officially put everyone's names in Hebrew, so I just...
Cool. Okay. It's good to see that someone is, you know, speaking the Mama Lashon. Okay, so now, Sike Chagavi Pasibros is Kshera, says Tosis. Migo to have a mechitza la ingin Shabbos. Since pasei beiraos counts as a mechitza for Shabbos purposes, it also is going to suffice for a sukkah. Then Tosfos bothered by Akasha, but afal gav de lohi tiru ela la olay regalim. Ula ole regolim lohitiru el olavahemtum. Aba adam metapes viyored metapes va'ole. The halacha pase be'ra'os is only for ole regolim. And even for ole regolim, the halacha pase be'ra'os is only for animals. A human being has to be metapes viyored metapes va'ole. If I'm going to be ole regol and I'm thirsty on the way, what I have to do is go jump into the water, right? And then somehow claw your way back up. Right? Your metapes v'yored and metapes v'ola. Like the Gemara says in Perek Olsen Passen. So Frektaisis Akasha, how could you possibly use Pase Be'ra'os for a sukkah? Pase Be'ra'os is very narrow in its heter. Pase Be'ra'os only helps for animals of Ole Regolim. It doesn't help if you're not Ole Regel. It doesn't help if you're a human. So that's Tysus' kasha. Nonetheless, Tysus answers me, Komakom, Keva, the middle rice, Shai Bacho Indian, I'm in a Migo, I feel me drabun, and I'll ask you, Misha Mitzisuka. But Zak Tysus, Pase Beiraz are Machitza Min HaTorah. Once it's a Machitza Min HaTorah, so therefore, Min HaTorah, it's okay. I, Midrabbonon, it's not acceptable. Well, Midrabbonon, it's not acceptable under normal circumstances. But for purposes of mitzvah, we allow it to work Midrabbonon. So for purposes of Ole Regel, that's purposes of a mitzvah. So therefore, we allow the Pase Beiraz to work. And Sukkah is also a mitzvah. Right? And for the mitzvah of Sukkah, we allow the Pase Be'ra'os to work. Right? That's what he says. Since Min HaTorah it's mutter. It's only us and Midrabbanan. And Midrabbanan, they don't impose the Isser because of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Right? And Zot Taisvis, really the Gemara should have said the Svara of mitzvah. Right, when the Gemara is trying to make the tzricha, so why do you need the case of schach on top of a mavli? Why do you need the case of Pase Be'ra'os? The Gemara should have said, well, this mitzvah idea is so important, but, says Tosis, we don't say that. Right, the Gemara could have done the tzricha, but it doesn't. So now, Tosfos is bothered by Akasha, that Pase Be'ra'os only helps for Ole Regolim, and even then, it doesn't help for humans. The Ran asks a very similar kasha, but there is a nuance of difference between the way the Ran asks the kasha, it's on Gimel Merach B'dapei Harif, and the way the Tosfos asks the kasha. Did anyone notice the nuance of difference between the Ran and the Tosfos? Turn to the Ran, it's on Gimel Amud Aleph. It begins with the words V'cholku al harav alfasi. Right? V'cholku al harav alfasi. Everyone argues on the Rif. The Rif quotes the halacha of Schach on Pase Be'ra'os. And they ask a question, Shekevan, shelo yitir Pase Be'ra'os elo la'ole regolam bovad. Yidisa perak osim pasin, Ha'idna leka migo. What do those words ha'idna leka migo mean?
Would you say that it's not parallel, they're not parallel cases anymore? Because one is only for this very particular circumstance?
So that's really what Tosis is saying, that Pase Be'ra'os is very limited. It's only in a specific circumstance. But the Ran adds these words of ha'itna leka migo.
Contemporary times?
Contemporary times, in other words, tifarshi. Explain.
Halavai, we should be ola l'regel.
We don't have a legal l'regel anymore, Bisman Hazeh. Right, the Ran's kasha of ha'idna leka migo is a real kasha that is that bizman hazeh we don't have aliyah l'regel. So the entire concept of Hase Beiros can no longer exist. So how can the Gemara invoke it? That's different than Tysus. Tysus does not say this. So now, from here on, you are going to hear what I think. And if you disagree, kol hakavod. But this is just what I think. What I think is as follows, Ketra. There's a machlokes achronim about whether there's a mitzvah aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh. You know, a lot of people try to go and spend yontiv in Israel, and they say they're fulfilling some element of aliyah l'regel. And is that correct? Right. In the Note of Yehuda, he writes that there is no mitzvah aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tzadi Hei writes that the mitzvah to be olah l'regel is in order to bring karbanos. Since b'zman hazeh, I'm not going to bring karbanos, so therefore there is no mitzvah of aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh. However, the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel, I'm just reading my notes because I don't remember the sources offhand, but the Chassam Sofer in Siman Reish Lamed Gimel writes that there is a mitzvah of aliyah l'regel bizman hazeh. Some compare the nature of the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel to the mitzvah that the Gemara says that an individual has an obligation to visit the Rebbe, their Rebbe on Yontiv. The idea is that in order to experience a yontiv, you want to do so in the most optimum circumstances of Kedusha possible. And therefore, there is an element of Aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh, even though you might not have the mitzvah completely. You're not going to have hakravas hakarbanos, but no one could tell me that there is as much Kedusha in Teaneck or in Riverdale or even in the Heights as there is in Eretz Yisrael. And to experience a yontiv is an opportunity, or it's better to experience a yontiv with heightened Kedusha. So there's a known machlokas that the Neid Yehuda says is no mitzvah aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh, and the Chassam Sofer writes that there is some sort of mitzvah of aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh. So I thought that maybe that's the issue. Tosfos doesn't say that bizman hazeh there's no aliyah l'regel. The Ran says ha'idna there is no aliyah l'regel. It could be that they are disagreeing about precisely that nekuda. Again, am I sure that this is true? Absolutely not. But is it good enough to say in Shir? I mean, you're not throwing rotten potatoes through the Zoom screen, so I'm assuming it's good enough to say in Shir. Ms. Gutman, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So are you saying that nowadays, if I wanted to be aliyah l'regel and I needed to bring my animals, I can use a Pasei Beirot as a sukkah?
Again, Tosfos is saying that theoretically, since there is a mitzvah of aliyah l'regel b'zman hazeh, mm-hmm. So the category of Pasei Beiraot can at least theoretically exist in our world. Mm-hmm. According to the Ran, right, the kasha is there is no category of aliyah l'regel anymore. Right, that's the Ran's kasha. The category of aliyah l'regel doesn't exist. Right, so that's very different than Tysus. That's the basic point I'm trying to get at. Oh. Okay, so that is this first sugya. Just give me one more second. Ms. Gutman, you're actually doing me a favor, giving me another second to turn my
page.
Yeah.
Oh, so according to the Ran, though, can't we still have this Pasei Beirot as a theoretical? Like, why? I don't really.
Yeah. Understand. Okay. So theoretically, you know, the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt, and theoretically, we could have aliyah l'regel. So maybe Pasei Beirot could still help based on the theoretical point. That was the thing I was looking at my notes for. So I saw, if you go in the run, if you go back to the run in Daf Gimel, there is a question as to how does the Migo work? Since it works for Shabbos, it works for Sukkah. So the standard approach is that once we are saying that something is a mechitza for Shabbos, once it has the halachic status of mechitza, so it also has the halachic status of mechitza for Sukkah. That's the simple understanding, which would be very similar to the idea elsewhere in halacha called achshavei. Achshavei means that if I take something and I treat it like it's a davar chashuv, so memela, it has halachic significance in other areas as well. That's the category in halacha of achshavei. The category in halacha of achshavei is once something is chashuv in one area of halacha, so the chashivas carries over to other areas of halacha as well. There's a concept, for example, that a beria, if you eat usually you have to eat a kezias in order to get malchus. But the Gemara Makkah says that if I eat an ant, I don't know if none of you are like 9-year-old boys at any point in your life, but there is something about like 9-year-old boys that they try to dare each other to like eat an ant or eat bugs or something, just because 9-year-old boys are kind of gross. So if you eat a bug, an entire beria, you're going to get malchus. And that's what the Gemara says. Because of the concept of achshavei, once it's considered a chashav element, it's considered a beria, it's not going to be batal in halacha like we see in Yerideya. So it has the chashivas of one area of halacha carries over to another area of halacha. The fact that I consider this something significant, by definition, that gives it significance. That's the yesod of achshavei. Many understand that the Migo works based on achshavei. But the Ran has an expression that's a little different. The Ran's expression is, and this is getting to Rachel's point, the Ran's expression is that the Migo works because it's e'efshar la'mechitza shetatir l'chatzain. It's impossible that a mechitza should permit something halfway. Either it permits or it doesn't permit. The yesod, according to the Ran of achshavei, the yesod, according to the Ran, is not based on achshavei per se. It's not based on the fact that, oh, I'm saying it's significant. But according to the Ran, the yesod is, it works. And once it works, so e'efshar shetatir l'chatzain, once it's working in one area of halacha, it has to work in other areas of halacha as well. And this, I think, is the answer to Rachel's question. In other words, Rachel asked, one second, dear Ran, so what if Bisman has said we don't have Aliyah L'Regel, but theoretically, we could? The answer is that the Ran will tell me that theoretics don't matter. Because according to the Ran, the idea of Migo is e'efshar shetatir l'chatzain. You can't have half a heter. If it's matir for Sukkah, it's got to be matir for Shabbos. But that means asa, but often prakti, in a practical way, it has to be matir. If it's not matir practically, doesn't count. That is the basic idea that the Mira Rosh Hashiva Reb Elia Baruch Finkel explained as part of this machlokas between the Ran and Taisvis. In other words, I think it's clear that for the Ran, he's saying that there is no Aliyah L'Regel Bisman Hazeh. But then I have a second stage in the question, what Rachel asked, so what? And the answer is, well, for the Ran, there's a very big so what. because the Ran is going to tell me that the entire idea of Migo is Eafshar Shetatir L'Chatzain, is that it can't be Mutter halfway. Questions, comments, observations? Rachel, you are dominating the floor tonight. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, dominating, not, yeah, questions. So up until this point, we were seeing Migo as Achshive.
In other words, it's possible that Migo just means that once this thing works over here, it works over there. It's Choshev for this area, it's Choshev for that area. But the Ran's expression, the Ran's language is much stronger or different than ordinary Achshave. Ordinary Achshave just means, oh, it works for this area of Halacha. So it works for that area of Halacha. But it doesn't have to be that works practically. The Ran's Lashon of E'efshar Shetatir L'Chatzain sounds much more like it has to work practically. That's the basic idea that I'm trying to bring home.
Like, okay, practically meaning the cases have to compare a lot more or something?
I think so. Or it's not that the case have to compare. The idea is that once something is practically giving a heter for sukkah, it also has to practically give a heter for Shabbos. But so, for an Eafshar Shetatir means it's actually being matir. Tanya sent a chat to the group. Where does it say Eafshar Shetatir L'Chatzain? So in my Ran, which is in the traditional printing of the Gemara in the back, so there are two Dibra Hamaskels V'Amar on Daf Gimel Mit Aleph. In the at the end of the first Dibra Hamaskel V'Amar, at the end of the first one, so it's like 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, or the 5 lines before the second V'Amar begins. So the Ran has that expression of Ve'kevan she'i'ashar la'mechitza she'tatir l'chatzain. Are you able to find it now, Tanya?
I'll look for it later. Thank you so much.
Okay. So that's the basic idea that we're trying to bring. Again, what I'm trying to bring out, Rachel, is that the Ran's expression is not just achshavei. Achshavei means that it's a choshev mechitza here, so it's got to be choshev mechitza there. But Eafshar Shetatir L'Chatzain sounds like that if there's heter, it has to be heter. Heter means this mechitza practically permits something for sukkah. It also has to practically permit something for Shabbos purposes. That's what we're trying to get at. Any questions, comments, observations, or jokes? Okay.
Just on that. So we're saying practically in the sukkah scenario, if we're practically calling it a wall, and we have to practically call it a wall in sukkah as well.
The Ran's kasha is, how can you say pase beraos is a mechitza, but it's not. Practically speaking, there is no application of pase beraos to Zman Hazeh. Ha'idna is no aliyah l'rego, and therefore, practically speaking, there it doesn't help. So Migo shouldn't apply. That's the Ran's kasha. Okay, Chevra, next Gemara. Chamosa meruba mitzilasa. The Mishnah tells me that if a sukkah has more sun than shade, so the sukkah is invalid. Zakti Gemara. Tanya Rabban. Chamosa meruba. Chamosa machmas sikuch velo machmas defanos. Right. Let's say I have sukkah walls. I remember as a kid, actually, someone in town had this, and it was like the coolest thing. You have like glass walls for your sukkah. No. It's like living in a fish tank or something. So you have glass walls for the sukkah. That means that sunlight is going to be coming into your sukkah in abundance. That you're sitting in this really, really sunny thing. But according to the Tanna Kamma, chamasa meruba misilasa means that the schach has to have more shade than sun. If the schach has more sun than shade, it's pasul schach. But if the walls have more sun than shade, that's fine. Right? Chamosa machmas sikuch velo machmas tufanos. Reb Yashia Omer, af machmas defanus. Reb Yashia says that the walls also cannot be chamasa merubah mitzilasa. If you have glass walls and there is more shade and there is more sun coming in than there is shade, so according to Reb Yashia, it's possible. My time is Reb Yashia, duchsiv, v'sakosa al ha'aron es ha'paroches. Right, the pasuk says that you make a paroches. A paroches is like a mechitza, and the paroches is v'sakosa al ha'aron. The paroches is schach on the aron. So zok the gemara, paroches is a mechitza. V'kakai rachman eschacha. Right, the paroches is a mechitza. Yet the Torah calls it a schach. Alma mechitza. That tells me that mechitza has to have the same halacha as schach. Reb Yashia, it's like mimercha tavilachmo. He's bringing proof from a totally different area of halacha. The pasuk in the Torah that says that the parochas is schach says Reb Yashia, from there I see that mechitza is considered schach. But the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no, Rabbanon, Tahu de Nekuf Baporta de Mechsikaskach. What that Pasuk says, Visakosa al Ha'aron, means that the Paroches is bent a little bit at the top. So it's a little bit like Skach. Okay? So here's what we have so far. I have Reb Yashia. Reb Yashia says that the Mechitzos have to have the status of Skach, meaning that mechitzos like schach, as Reb Yashia says, and if you have sun that comes through the mechitzos, it's not going to be kosher. That's Reb Yashia's statement. If you have sun coming through, it's not kosher. Grand. Now, what about the other halachos of schach? Right? Sun, shade, are not the only halachos of schach. Right, what are some of the other halachas of schach? Well, schach has to come from psolat goren v'yekev, no? It has to be something that grew from the ground, but is no longer attached to the ground. It has to be something that is not mekabel tuma, no? There are lots of halachas of schach. It has to be natural. You can't have a synthetic. You can't have plastic schach, no? There are lots of halachas of schach. Would Reb Yashia say that the mechitzos of a sukkah have all the halachas of a schach? Now, just to put that in perspective, that would mean that 99.9% of sukkahs on this planet are possible, no? Because if you make a sukkah out of canvas, canvas is not kosher for schach, no? I make a sukkah out of plexiglass, it's not kosher for schach. Now, it's not such a big deal, because the halacha doesn't follow Reb Yashia, but it is intriguing that Reb Yashia would be saying something that is really very far-reaching. It's entirely possible that Reb Yashia is saying that the mechitzos of a sukkah have to have all of the halachos of schach. That's very possible that Reb Yashia is saying it. Ms. Shulman, you have a comment?
Just in terms of how the Gemara continues with the whole thing, then if Reb Yashia is saying that it has to be dirat keva, I'm trying to picture how you would, like, what would you build a dirat keva out of that's a natural, like, tree branches that are not cut into boards? I don't know. I can't even think of material.
I mean, I want to take your comment and kind of reframe it. You know, the Gemara over here is saying that Reb Yashia is based on an understanding that mechitza has the same status as schach. But one line from now, the Gemara is going to give a different understanding of Reb Yashia. The Gemara is going to say that according to Reb Yashia, there's a requirement of diras keva. And that's why you can't have all the sunlight coming through, because diras keva, my apartment, where I live, I don't have like sunlight coming in everywhere. I don't live in the fish tank, right? So it seems to be a different reason for Rabbi Yashiya, right? So we have a contradiction or two separate reasons for Rabbi Yashiya. That's point one, question one. And then Sima is asking, I think, if I understand it correctly, well, according to the second reason of Rabbi Yashiya, the Diras Keva reason, so how could that apply to all the other halachos of Schat? I could understand that the first reason of Mechitza Kisrach maybe teaches me all the other halachos, that the Mechitza has to be like Schat. But the Diras Keva reason, L'cha'ira, has no connection to all the other halachos of Schach. Is that a fair way of formulating your point?
I think so, yeah.
So let's kind of hold that, and we'll point out that there is a Machlekes HaRishonim within Rabbi Yashiya. The Mordechai, okay? Who was the Mordechai? When and where did he live? So the Mordechai is a Mordechai ben Hillel. He's a German Rishon. He is killed in the Rheinfleisch massacre of 1284. Right? It's interesting, by the way, the only time that we really speak about Jewish history all year is on Tisha B'Av. You ever notice that? Like Jewish history like plays like no role, but it really should. So it's Kedai. Like you learn a Mordechai. So who was he? The Mordechai is a Talmud of the Maharam of Wittenberg. No? Right? And okay, so the Mordechai at the very end of Simon Tuf Shin Lamed Aleph. Did any of you have a chance to take on the Mordechai? I mean, okay, Tanya, you did. Good. So Tanya, do you want to tell me what the Mordechai says?
So he brings the Ra'aviyah, who's actually and does extend it to materials that are Makabel Tuma.
Nachon. Right? The Ra'aviyah says that according to Rabbi Yashiya, Hu Hadin, you can't make a mechitza from something that's Makabel Tuma. Right? Anything that's invalid for schach can't be a mechitza, can't be a wall of a sukkah. But we don't pass any Rabbi Yashiya. Right? That's what the Mordechai quotes from the Rav Yah. That's already an interesting idea. And I think what Sima is saying is that this only makes sense within the first approach to Rabbi Yashiya. The approach of Mechitza Kisbach, according to the other approach of Diras Keva, it doesn't really make sense. Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? Does Tosfos agree with the Mordechai B'Shem Rav Yah, or does Tosfos disagree with the Mordechai B'Shem Rav Yah?
Disagrees completely.
He disagrees. Okay.
He says the only halacha of schach is the covering part, but like something like goren vekev, I can't see that. Yekev doesn't apply.
So what you're pointing out is the last line in Tosfot is that the kolhu modu delo be'inon lemechitzot. Psolet Goren V'Yekev. Everyone agrees you don't need Psolet Goren V'Yekev. And who is everyone?
I thought it went back to the Machlokas of do you need four walls or three walls when it says Sukkah.
Okay. So what Tanya is saying is that everyone doesn't mean everyone on Zayin Amid Beis. Everyone means everyone on Vav Amid Beis.
So
right? Vav Amid Beis, we had a discussion about how many walls you need for a sukkah. Do you need two complete walls and the third wall is a tefach, or three complete walls and the fourth wall is a tefach? By machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Chachomim, etc. Right? And they're all learning from the psukim of basukot, 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 yeshin mikra, yeshin masoret, whatever, we went through that whole thing. Grant. So it's possible, right? The way Tanya is learning the Tosfos, I think, is kol hu modu, everyone on Vav Amid Beis agrees that you do not need Solet Goren V'Yekev. But it could be that everyone on Zion Amud Bet does not agree. Because Rabbi Yashia is saying that you do need Psolet Goren V'yekev. Right? That's the way Tanya is learning Tosfot. Rachel, I think, is learning the Tosfot very differently, no? I think Rachel is saying, Jekul Hu Modu means everybody on Zion Amud Beis, meaning Bein Chachomin, Bein Rabbi Yashia, everyone agrees you do not need Psolet Goren V'yekev. Right, so there are two different ways of learning this Taisus. And these two ways of learning the Taisus, just to give names to the ways of learning the Taisus. So the Maharsha was Reb Shmuel Adels, no? He was a Rav in Krakow. Right, Reb Shmuel Eliezer. Excuse me, he was the Rav in Ustra. Reb Shmuel Eliezer Adels. From what I heard, I'm not sure if this is correct. Adels is a last name that comes from the woman's name Adel. Many last names in Yiddish society came from women's names. Reb Moshe Rivkish is the author of the Be'er HaGola on Shulchan Aruch. No, Rivkish means Rivkas, right? Adels means Adels, right? The idea is that last names often were derived from a woman's first name, in part to give a sense of who was the breadwinner, who was the important person in the family. Right, if you had a very important bubba, actually my great grandmother was actually named Adel. Right, if you had a really important forebearer who had like a Rivka, an Adel, somebody, so that would become your family name. That was like a matronymic. No? So that could be the pshat. So the Maharsha, after that long introduction, the Maharsha says that Tosfos agrees with the Rav Yo. Right, the Maharsha says that Tosfos is saying kol hu modu, that everyone on Vav Amud Beis says you do not need psolas goren v'yekev, but on Zayin Amud Beis Rabbi Yashia says you do need psolas goren v'yekev. The Maharshal, Reb Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal disagrees. Actually, the Maharshal is before the Maharsha, so the Maharsha disagrees with the Maharshal, and the Maharshal says that no, that what Tosfos means is that even Rabbi Yashia does not require psolet goren v'yekev. Now, if we read the Tosfos inside, we're doing everything backwards. You start with the last line of Tosfos. Now, if we go and read the Tosfos inside, Tosfos says, "Mehoden afkal mechitzos la'el mi basukot." V'kari rachmana schacha lo matzi darish. D'hasam lo darshinan ella miyitura. The Gemara in Vav Amud Beis says basukot, basukot, basukot. Frek Tosfos. If what you're trying to do is to prove that mechitza is the same as schach, schach is the same as mechitza, whatever it is, so why do you have to bring the pasuk of the parochet? Go back one page. Vav Amud Beis. You see, basukot, basukot, basukot. That teaches me how many walls of a sukkah. So I'm using the word sukkah to teach me mechitza. So what Tosfos is saying is bothered by Akasha. How come you have to learn from the parochas that... How come Rabbi Yashia has to learn from the parochas that mechitza is called schach, right? Learn it from the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis. So Tosfos answers that no. The Gemara on Vav Amud Beis is a limud from Yitura, as opposed to a limud from Mashma'usa. Gitura means just that there are extra words in the Torah. The Torah does not have to say, right, Basu kol teshvu shivat yamim, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basu kol, leman yedu doroteichem ki basu kol. You don't have to say it three times. You don't have to have the word basu kol three times. You don't need it so much. How come we have it three times? Well, it's Yitura. It's an extra word. So extra words, that's not so relevant for me. I don't care about an extra word. Right? Just pardon me for 1 second. Okay, in other words, Chevra, what the Tosfos is saying is that you can't prove from the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis that the word sukkah is the same as mechitza, because the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis is only speaking about yitura. It's extra words in the Torah. And that's why sukkah means mechitza. But ordinarily, the word sukkah does not mean mechitza. It's just that when there's an extra usage of the term sukkah, so I'll use it to tell me the number of mechitzos I have. V'teda, the proof is, d'kul hu modu d'lo b'inan l'mechitzos psoles goren v'yekev. So according to the Maharshal, what this line means is that everybody agrees you don't need psoles goren v'yekev. Even Reb Yashia says you don't need psoles goren v'yekev, meaning that no one is saying that mechitza is mamish the same as schach. That possibly cannot exist. And the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis is just counting numbers. No one is saying that mechitza mamish has to be schach. In Reb Yashia, even Reb Yashia doesn't say that. That's the way the Maharshal says it. The Maharsha is saying, no, that kol hu modu, that everyone on Vav Amud Beis agrees that you don't need psoles goren v'yekev. That's what the Maharsha says. So basically, it's machlekes, Maharsha, Maharshal, and Maharsha. How do you read the Tosis? In terms of, is Tosis agreeing with the Ravya, or is Tosis disagreeing with the Ravya? Now, ladies, if you disagree with the Ravya, see, if I agree with the Ravya, I understand that mechitza mamish has to be like schach. But if I disagree with the Ravya, so apparently what Rabbi Yashia is saying is that only with respect to more sun than shade, only with respect to that halacha does Rabbi Yashia say mechitza kischach. But he doesn't say mechitza kischach with respect to all the other definitions of schach. Why would I split within the definitions of schach? Why would I say that that when it comes to sun and shade, so then Rabbi Yashia holds schach has to have more shade than sun, but with respect to everything else, it doesn't have to come from psoles goren v'yekev. It's not really the same as schach. Why is it the same as schach with respect to sun versus shade, but not the same as schach with respect to any other dinim? Ms. Sklar?
Could this connect back to the initial idea of whether like these physical structural criterion for sukkah revolves around the chafzar, the gavra of the mitzvah of sukkah, and that if it's about the gavra, then it's about the user experience of sitting in the sukkah. And in that case, if you're getting more sun through your walls, then even though technically your schach is kosher, it affects your overall like experience. While like the material of your walls would not really affect your overall experience of feeling like you're in a sukkah.
So I think what you're saying is correct, but I'd like to tighten it up a teeny bit. But you're using terms gavra and chefza, which are terms that are used very often. I'd rather use the term, instead of the term chefza, I'd rather speak about the intrinsic definition of schef. We saw in Daf Beis Amar Aleph, in the first Rashi, right? Beis Amar Aleph, the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi writes, Al Shem Haschach Kruya Sukkah. Sukkah is called Sukkah because of Schach. The definition of Schach is Sochef. Schach means to give shade. There are certain details, a certain requirement in Schach, but they are not definitional to what Schach is. Now, those dinim could invalidate the schach, maybe mitzad the gavra, not mitzad the chepta. It could be this is what you meant. It could be that's what you meant. But I think the basic point is that if the sukkah has more sunlight than shade, it's not a sukkah at all. But if you have a sukkah that is covered with trees which are still attached to the ground, that is a puzzle sukkah. It is not something which is not a sukkah at all. If you have too much sun and not enough shade, das heist nicht das sukkah. That's not a sukkah at all. But if you have more, right? Right? But all the other limitations of schach are just limitations within the dinim of schach. So you were, I think, saying this idea, but you were using the terminology of gavra and chepta. I prefer using other terminology in terms of whether it is part and parcel of what a sukkah is, or whether it's just a extraneous detail, or a non-extraneous detail, an essential detail, but it's still a detail rather than something that's definitional. Does that resonate with you, Chevra? Okay. Weiter. Zoe, you haven't said anything yet tonight. How is Judaism? Okay.
Yeah, it's been a busy week, so I'm quiet today.
Not a problem. Well, not a problem at all. I just thought everything I was saying was like so, you know, push up to that. Okay, so that's the first.
Pick-a-dole, can I just ask you, that definition of puzzle, is that a universal definition that at least something is in the definitionally related to something, we can say it's puzzle, but if it's absolutely has nothing to do, is that right? Or is that specific to
here? Again, you know, I think it's correct, although you have to be careful about applying this. Let me give you a famous example of this. You know, everyone says that a grafted esrog is puzzle as an esrog, right? You can't, if you have an esrog that's a mixture of an esrog and some other citrus fruit, so that's not kosher, right? They asked Reb Chaim Brisker, where in the Torah does it say, or where in Chazal does it say, where in Judaism does it say that a grafted esrog is not kosher? So Reb Chaim says, oh, that's obvious. The Torah says esrog, or the Torah says pre-Eitz Hadar. This is not an esrog. It's not the same fruit, right? In other words, it's not puzzle. If I have an esrog that is missing part of it, I have an esrog that maybe the pitum fell off, I have an esrog, right? Those are puzzle esrogen, but a peach is not an esrog, right? There's a difference between being something that is invalid and being something which doesn't even enter the category. It's definitionally excluded. And what if you want to take the approach that for Rabbi Yashia, only the defanos only have to be simosa meruba mechamosa, but they don't have to meet all of the other definitions of, or all the other halachos of schach, that's because simosa meruba mechamosa is the definition of schach as opposed to everything else. Okay, now, in the Hemsheikh of the Gemara, just to go back to the point that Sima made before, time is getting late, so maybe I'm not going to read inside a teeny bit, or we'll read quickly. But the Gemara raises the issue that Rabbi Yashia and a whole bunch of other people say that a sukkah has to be diras keva. And we in the sense of Sima, ask the question, one second, which one is it? Is it that mechitza is like smach, or is it diras keva? So it could be that you need both drushos, and I'll explain it like this. If you hold that mechitza has to be like skach, so that would be an amazing thing, because mechitza is relevant for many other areas of halacha. I have a mechitza for Shabbos. I have a mechitza in Beis Knesses. I have a mechitza that separates between Kilei HaKerem, right? I can have mechitza in many areas of halacha. Are you going to tell me that in all of those cases, that mechitza keskach, that you have to have like bamboo shoots, or you have to have stuff that grows from the ground, or you have to have something l'chol apachos that's not transparent? Right? If you really take drusha number one to its logical conclusion, so that would mean that mechitza keskach is a halacha b'chol ha'teva kula. And everywhere in the Torah where I see the idea of mechitza, it has to be something that's not transparent, at least. That would be wild, no? There is a true Bakshi Nigris Moshe about whether the mechitza in Shul, the mechitza in Beis Knesses, can be transparent. You can have a completely glass mechitza in Shul. But Moshe never invokes this idea. Rav Moshe says that maybe the mechitza in shul is, you know, to avoid distraction. And if it's glass, it's completely transparent, so it's not going to effectively avoid distraction during tefillah. One could argue that the Gemara has two stages. Stage one is mechitza keskach. Stage two is saying, don't tell me that mechitza keskach is a global rule in all of the halachos of mechitza, but it's only true with respect to sukkah, because sukkah has to be diras keva. In other words, what Rabbi Yashia is saying is, I need both reasons. I need mechitza keskach, and I also need that other reason to say, what's it called? I also need the other reason of diras keva. Right? Because if I only have mechitza keskach, it would apply everywhere. Okay, let's go, chevra. So far, so good? Amr, good. Amr Abaya. Right? By the way, there is like a thumbs up thing that you could push on Zoom. It's like amazing. Like you have to know how to do these reactions. They're like so cool. But okay. Zakti Gemara. Thank you, Ms. Gutman. Very appreciated. Right? So Amar Abaye, Rebbe, Rebbe Yasha, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Sham, Rebbe Yezer, V'acherim. Right? That's like what? Eight names? Kulu Sfira Lehu Sukka Diras Keva Be'inon. All of them hold Sukka has to be Diras Keva. Rebbe, D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, Kol Sukkah She'im Ba'arba Amos Ha'arba Amos P'suva. Right, there was a machlokes that the Gemara had, Daf Dalet, about what is the minimum size of a sukkah. Is the minimum size of a sukkah 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim? Right? Or is the minimum size of a sukkah Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos? Right? That's a question. Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi says the sukkah has to be dalet amos by dalet amos. That's because he holds a sukkah has to be diras keva. It has to be a substantial. The word keva, by the way, means different things. Keva could mean permanent. Keva could also mean significant. Right? Keva could mean something. The keva can mean kavua, something that doesn't move, something that is permanent. Keva could also mean something that is primary. Asei Toratcha Keva Umalachtacha Arai, right, means that you should make your Torah primary. No? It says also in Chazal that you shouldn't make your tefillah keva. Right? What does that mean? That means that you shouldn't daven in the sense of, oh, I always have to do this. This is what I do. This is what I do. A tefillah should be something that involves more heart. The word keva means different things. And that will come up, or the Balei HaTosfos certainly point this out in our Gemara. But according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, keva means it has to be significant and has to be something that is 4 amos by 4 amos. Now, if you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi writes Dirat Keva. Rashi says, Ru'uya lehishtamish kavua v'nireis kebayis. Rashi says that there are two parts of the definition of Keva here. One is that you can use it in a kavua way. You can use it for significant actions. Two, Keva means it has to be something that appears like a house. You get an impression that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is saying as we 4 amos by 4 amos, more in the sense of it has to appear like a house. So that's the first shita. That's Rebbe. Rebbe Yashia Hadamarin. We spoke about Rebbe Yashia, who said that the mechitzos of a sukkah have to be tzilosim ruba mechamosim. Rebbe Yehuda is in the first Mishnah. That sukkah over 20 amos is non-kosher. Rebbe Yehuda says it is kosher. Right now, why is Rabbi Yehuda saying it's kosher? So Rava on Daf Beis Amud Aleph said that there's a machlokas over here whether sukkah is diras keva or diras arai. No? Rabbi Yehuda says that the sukkah could be over 20 amos. Something over 20 amos by definition has to be keva. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah can be keva. Right? Now, we already notice a difference between, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi that we had before about a sukkah of Dalal Amos by Dalal Amos. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says a sukkah has to be keva, has to be 4 amos by 4 amos, in the sense of it has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. When the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda said a sukkah over 20 is keva, that means it can be over 20. You can also have a sukkah that's less than 20 amos. No? So there is a bit of a difference, because according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. It's an absolute requirement, but according to Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah could also be over, a sukkah could also be over 20. So it's a different usage of keva. Again, this all plays into the hand of Tosfos. Tosfos Kulhu writes that al karchacha ein shaven. They're not really the same, right? We're just noting some of the other differences. Tosfos doesn't pick up on this difference, but what we see from here is that, yeah, of course, they are not all the same. That Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says it has to be 4 amos. And the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda says it can even be over 20 amos. Reb Shimon, right, the Tanya, Shtayin kolchasen shlishis afilo tefach, Reb Shimon omer, Shimo kolchasen revias afilo tefach. The Tanya Reb Shimon says that you need 3 complete walls for a sukkah. Why do you need 3 complete walls? Well, diras keva. It has to be a more significant, more substantial type of dira. You need 3 walls plus a chetrik, not 2 walls plus a chetrik. Rabbi Gamliel says, if I make a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat, it's puzzle. How does that tell me keva? That tells me keva because since it moves, it doesn't look like it's a permanent thing. Right? That's Rashi's lashon. Miskazi ke'enarai. It doesn't look like a full-fledged bayis. Right? Most people don't have homes. Actually, this is one of the shilohs during coronavirus time. Let's say you have a mobile home. are you allowed to go from state to state if you don't ever come out of your mobile home, right? So lambda shechakira within crossing state lines and coronavirus. But a mobile home doesn't appear like a regular home. The Tana Rebbe Gamliel says a sukkah on top of a wagon or on top of a boat is puzzle because it's not keva. Beis Shammai says that if you're sitting in the sukkah, but your table's in the house, it's puzzle. Why is it puzzle? It's puzzle according to Beis Shammai because you can't really use it as a regular home. Again, the word keva has different definitions. This keva doesn't appear like a regular home. This keva in terms of usage, Beis Shammai is using the term keva in terms of usage. We also have the halacha, Rabbi Eliezer, that if you make a sukkah like a tzarif, what's a tzarif? A tzarif is basically, I thought, like the wall and the ceiling is one and the same, right? Or if it's just against the wall. So that's, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not kosher because that's not a normal home. And it's not keva. And the Acherim say that a circular sukkah is puzzle because most homes have corners and a yurt is not a home. A circular sukkah is puzzle. So basically what the Gemara is getting at, and maybe we'll pick up on this a little more next time, right? Tosfos points out in Kohu Svira Lahu that, yeah, everyone holds diras keva, but the word keva means different things in different places. For some of the Tanayim, keva means this, for other Tanayim, keva means that. Keva means different things for different Tanayim, and the Tanayim do not all agree with each other. That's a point that we'll have to look into in greater detail in Tosis. Okay, Chevra, any questions, comments? Rachel, how are you?
Good. I have a comment. Because you mentioned about Rabbi Adelis, I learned in 11th grade Jewish history credit to Berea High School that it was named after the mother-in-law because, like you said, she
said. Right. Oh, it was his mother-in-law.
Or something, and she supported the yeshiva and, like, let him marry his daughter.
Right, absolutely. So that's, in other words, that's the basic idea that, like, people would take as their last name the name of a mother-in-law, of a chashuv woman in the realm, because, right, that's the point. Okay, Yashin Kalach, Berea High School. I have a sister-in-law who teaches in Berea High School.
Who?
Leia Lustiger.
Oh, yeah. Well, she doesn't teach her anymore, but she's
awesome. Anyway, that's correct. But, okay.
Incredible, yeah.
What else, Kefra?
I have another question about, I didn't fully understand you. Our answer to Sima's question, Yashia.
Yes, so I thought the basic idea that we were trying to say is that you need both. In other words, you need Mechitza Kesach, but if I would just have the concept of Mechitza Kesach, I'd assume that B'chol HaTeira Kulo, whenever there's a Mechitza, it cannot be transparent. So I also need to invoke this halacha of diras keva. In other words, that because sukkah has a diras keva requirement, so therefore I take the mechitza kiskach idea and I really apply it there, but I'm not applying it to every other din of mechitza b'chol HaTeira Kulo.
So it's almost as if the diras keva halacha limits the mechitza keva.
Uh-huh. Right.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Sima, how are you?
Good. So we're not saying that the fact that he equates tzach and potentially, possibly, equates tzach and walls for all things, not just shade, but for everything, then how would that doesn't, because I'm trying to figure out how that would make something more keva. If you have natural walls or if you have non-transparent walls, it makes it more keva. But if you have all the other halachot, which we were saying Tosfot might be saying, that doesn't make it more keva.
Right. So I think I alluded to this earlier. the Rav Yoz notion that according to Rabbi Yashia, you need all of the halachos of schach on the mechitos, that only makes sense according to what we'll call version one of the Gemara, mechitza kischach. Right? And that approach would be saying that version one is disagreeing with version two. Right? In other words, this whole idea that we're saying that maybe version one and version two are working together, right, would not be true in the Rav Yo world. Absolutely.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay, ladies. So wish you a good evening and Hatzlacha Rabba. All the best. Kotov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to life.